Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Well, hello!
Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko! Yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
Got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rock.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that.
Shh. I'm trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongBlueFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Sam.
Hello.
Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
And new co-host, Teresa.
Hello.
And Derek.
Hello, everyone.
Teresa is Firebender 896 on DongBlueFang, and Teresa and Derek both got here through a new co-host application process that I put up on DongBlueFang. Look for that if I do it again. This is the Korra Spoilers podcast, and we will be discussing spoilers which not everyone may want to see. So if you don't want to see them, I would recommend not. If you do want to see them, I'd recommend watching them before continuing, and you can at DongBlueFang.net under Korra Spoilers on the sidebar to the right. And if you don't, then you should stop once I say during the podcast, I'll say we're now going to talk about spoilers. And I'll also have the times under the podcast description, which you shouldn't listen if you don't want to be spoiled. It's minor spoilers from the first episode. Well, not minor, but it spoils a lot of the first episode of Korra. Nothing beyond that, but if you don't want to watch it, if you don't want to see them, then it's totally understandable. You don't have to listen to the spoiler parts of this podcast. You can email us at dylan@dongbufeng.net. New email, so we don't have to email all three of the administrators for podcast emails. dylan@dongbufeng.net. And that would just go to me, and I can forward stuff to other people if you want. Today we'll be discussing news, mostly about the comics that come between Avatar and Korra. We'll be discussing the Korra spoilers and what happens, and then what we think might happen between the shows not covered in, or maybe covered in, the comics as well. And if we have time, we'll be doing recommendations at the end for, like, holdover stuff, like we did a few podcasts ago. A
few months. It's like April.
I guess months, yeah. Well, no, we recorded in August. I don't know if we did it then, though.
It was in April.
Okay, Sam. But yeah, okay. Yeah, it's been a while. This is our December run of podcasts, or winter run. We'll have some more in December, or in January, not December, that you can look forward to. Probably not anymore in December. And we'll get to what we might be talking about at the end of the podcast. So in recent Avatar news, I'm not sure that the Dark Horse comic was announced until after we recorded the last podcast. So in case you guys don't know, Dark Horse will be releasing a series of the Promise comics that will start immediately after the series ended. And then it's kind of like a lead into Korra, except it only goes for like spans a year, so not really, but it's written by Gene Yang, who is Mike, and he says he got ideas from Mike and Brian. It is canon, but it's not Mike and Brian writing it. And illustrated by how do you pronounce it? I forgot. Guruhiru, yeah, there we go. And they're like a pair of Japanese female artists?
I guess. I don't know.
I think they're Japanese, I think.
Probably.
I think. They illustrated some of the comics on the Lost Adventures ones. It seems like it's more refined, I think, for The Promise. It looks, and we know that because Amazon released advanced pages of The Promise Part 1. I think their thing didn't work because it has click a random page of this book, and then it pretty much listed every single page of the book. So now we know exactly what happens in The Promise Part 1. And I guess we'll be discussing those as spoilers, too. So if you don't want to know those, then you can not...
Stop listening!
Yeah, stop listening now, because we're going to talk about it. But it's not a big deal, really. It's just a comic. And, I mean, I don't know. There's a spoilers. And there's... We do know what happens at the very end of The Promise Part 1. And Part 2 will be released May 30th. Part 3 by the end of the year. Have you guys seen the quote-unquote leak from Promise Part 1?
Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Thoughts on what you think it is going to be on? Like, thoughts on the quality of it so far, I guess?
I really liked it. I thought it kind of felt like the show. That's my feelings on it. I felt like I was watching it. Well, not watching, but, like, reading. And everyone seemed, like, in their personality. So, I like that.
Yeah, I'd agree. Any thoughts on, like, specific plot development? Let's try not to say what happens at the very end, but, well, at the same time, I kind of want to, because that's the main thing I want to talk about. Yeah, okay, so don't listen. Skip this part. Skip a minute ahead, or a minute or two, if you don't want to. So, yeah, Zuko at the end. I don't know. I personally, I don't like him, this, like, where they're going with this, because it kind of defeats the purpose of his, like, struggle arc, like, throughout the show, in my opinion. I don't know. Do you guys agree?
How I felt, too. I didn't like that part.
It kind of felt like we were revisiting a plot line that we already saw in the show, kind of like his struggle between good and evil, and it's like, all right, we've already been through this.
I actually don't know what's happened, so I'm going to be spoiled right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. Well, yeah, let's not specifically say what happens then. But yeah, it's playing devil's advocate. Maybe it makes sense for him to want to stick up. I mean, he's put in this, like, position where he has a ton of responsibility as Fire Lord. Maybe it's natural for him to look out for the best interest of the Fire Nation. But I don't know. Some of the pages made it seem like it was beyond that. Like, it seems like him and Aang would get along and not go through this, like, conflict arc it looks like they're going to go through.
Yeah.
I don't know. If he does it right, it can be kind of cool. It's not going to be like, oh, the Zuko arc in the show is ruined because they went over it again in these comics, but...
Only it's not with honor this time. It's about other things.
Yeah, it's true. It's not, yeah. Not really for himself. More as, like, his nation and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I understand why they're doing it, and it provides good conflict for it, but at the same time, I was like, oh, really? And in other news, how about Katara and Aang in the comics
calling each other
Oogies?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I thought that having them both say in the same panel was a little repetitive. Like, I'm not, like, saying anything against, I mean, I love that ship and everything, but I'm looking forward to seeing that their relationship kind of blossom in the comics, but, like, I just don't want them to be calling each other sweetie every panel, because it would kind of ruin it for me.
I do.
But, well, you would.
Yeah, I would, but it's, I don't know, I get that it's kind of repetitive. At the same time, I don't know. I totally would see them doing it just to piss off Sokka at the same time.
Oogies.
That would be
They give me oogies in a good way.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, I saw some non-Cat Aang shippers not too pleased with that, and I was like, yes. But anyway. what else happens in there? Toph, metal bending school, stuff like that.
Well, that's the next one.
Yes, yeah.
Actually, it's in here, too.
No, I think she's... Yeah, I think she starts it in here. Well, so what they do is they start right after the finale, then they take, like, a year break. So I think that, yeah, it's weird, their timing with it. I don't know, I think it's... What do you think of that as a plot line for Toph at the end of the series?
I like it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't really see her teaching large groups of people. Like, one-on-one, but I feel like... I don't know.
When they said that she's going to be traveling the world teaching metal bending, I thought she was, like, going to be literally traveling, not, like, setting up schools.
Yeah, I could see how it's like not her personality, but and yeah, I'm interested to see, like, does she set up multiple schools? Is that one school? I don't know. I guess it depends how they execute it. That's not naturally what I'd think of Toph doing, but I could see it working. And it seems like essential to the lead into Korra, though. That's probably that was probably dictated from Mike and Brian. How about the there was a okay, and in other news, there's a video that Jin Yang released, which shows like some of the new outfits that the gang will be wearing.
I watched it.
Oh my god. That's awesome. It was pretty awesome. I liked it. Illustrated by Guthifiru again. Why did
those
I try
two
that?
Chicks.
Those two chicks. Okay, I'm gonna call them.
We need Allie in here. She knows Japanese.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I like that, and that video is kind of informative, so you should go watch it if you can. Other opinions on The Promise?
The Promise is a stupid name.
It is a stupid
name. Yeah.
It is. It sounds like a soap opera, like, The Promise.
I agree. And it goes with that plot line we're talking about, so.
Oh, did anyone see there's something where it was like talking about The Promise Part 2 and it kind of gave a mini synopsis of it?
Yeah, we have a link to that on DF, I believe.
Well, it mentioned that like Sako is going to help Toph with her metal bending school, and that made me really, really happy to say.
Happy too.
Yes, I have a huge Taka shipper for anyone who doesn't know.
High five.
Gotta say, I will be looking forward to that if they do it. That would be awesome. Yeah, needs more Taka, honestly. Because something we'll get into in the spoilers. Oh, nope, can't do that. Okay, we'll get into that when we get to it. Yeah, so...
No, I just looked at the name of the artist. It's Guthifuru. Because I know I've been in Japanese for the past year and a half.
Okay, what he said. Let's go. Okay, so I'm not going to pronounce it again. Try to. I think that's good for we've been talking too long about The Promise. So yeah, here's where I'm gonna say we're gonna start talking about the Korra spoilers, so don't listen anymore if you don't want to hear them. And you can probably listen to the closing about future podcasts if you look on the time on the podcast description. So yeah, let's start talking about the spoilers. So these came from a anonymous leak, not from us, surprisingly, gotta say that. The first time I saw it, I was like, is this us? And it's not. Not Dong Bufeng, not Jake's contact. And it seems like it's some guy who got the, like a screening. Maybe they sent it out to, like, advertisers or press or something. I don't know. Because he has the whole episode, he says. And it's got to be true because he has the opening. And then we don't have that part on Dong Bufeng because we have the HD quality version on Dong Bufeng. But there's... The low-quality one has the episode name, which is Welcome to Republic City, and then it leads into these three guys walking what seems like the South Pole, and we'll get into that. But yeah, it's I don't know how he got it. Tried talking to him slash her, won't respond. So yeah, and the leak seems to not be posting anymore, too. I mean, Viacom just went up and deleted all the YouTube videos, and even got to one on Tumblr, which is surprising.
Yeah,
I didn't think that would happen. Which is why, I guess, but they won't be taking him down from Dong Bufeng. Unless Viacom's lawyers contact us, then we might take him down.
Just maybe, you know.
It would probably be in our best interest to do that. But it's not like, I mean, it's not like we have a service. They're, like, hosted, the videos are on Dong Bufeng's servers, so that's why they're still up, as opposed to, like, on some, like, broad websites' servers. Yeah, so I doubt we'll be getting any more leaks, but maybe we could. I don't know. I kind of thought this was a good thing, because... We've had so little about Korra. I mean, in August was the last thing, and there's just been no news and, like, anything Avatar except the Promise stuff.
Yeah.
And that's been infrequent, too.
And personally, for me, I was ecstatic to see the opening, but, like, the other two videos, I could have done without, personally. Just me.
I could see that. I don't know. I think the clip he released, I don't know, I thought that was probably a good clip. Except it kind of spoiled something that they seem to want to have hidden, but at the same time, it seems to be a major part of the series, which is Katara being alive, it looks like.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which they never mentioned before, but it's weird. And specifically, Andrea Romano, the voice director, said everyone's dead from that generation. So maybe
that's why they're just trying to throw us off.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I felt like they were just going to say that, and then they're going to slowly reveal, like, have it a big reveal who was alive.
Yeah, I could see that. The guy says that Katara is the only one alive. I think that's what the leak guy said. And what else did he say?
I think that just may be from the first episode, though.
Yeah, it's true. We don't know that beyond that. Maybe the only thing was that, because he says he only has the first episode. Beyond that, though, if Katara says, like, everyone's dead in the first episode, then yeah. Let's talk about the name change. That was the possible name change. Because in the video, it says Avatar Legend of Korra. Now, here's why you should be skeptical of that. If this is from before August, then, like, maybe this is a rough cut of the episode. It doesn't seem like it, though. There's reasons where for us to think it's not. Then it still could be from before they changed the name to The Last Airbender. Or maybe they just have forgot to have changed it since then.
It does seem like the episode title seems a bit like a working title, you know?
It does, but then again, they're not the greatest with titles. So, I don't know. It does, but the thing that I've seen people say is that the music is new, and the track team didn't, start, or even, was it, it was either start or finish recording until recently. And I think it was start, so it has to be recent, says some people. I, no way of confirming that, but it, I don't know. The only thing that seems rough about, like, the clip is the voice acting. I don't know. Maybe there's not all the sound effects there. But at the same time, it's, like, it's legitimate. Seems like it could be from an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben says, I wanted to have Ben on this podcast. Ben from a couple podcasts ago couldn't, but he's sent me some thoughts. I hope that it is Avatar Legend of Korra, since The Last Airbender makes no sense regarding the series. And I completely agree.
Yes.
Because there's multiple airbenders in the series. It's not The Last Airbender.
Yeah. The last four airbenders.
Yeah, it inherently makes no sense. So, however, I was skeptical of this whole idea that they have to call it Last Airbender because of James Cameron's Avatar. I was skeptical of that until I saw this really detailed post on, I think it was, like, Avatar Wiki.
Oh, God, I read it too.
Yeah. And it was pretty... Can't say I checked all the sources and stuff, but if they are to be believed, then it would seem that Nick only has the trademarks for certain types of things for Avatar now. So they might not be able to pull it off. At the same time, though, I'm not totally sure that's true. I don't know how all the copyright stuff works. I hope it's not, but I don't really see how it conflicts, the movie and the series. But at the same time, they're both similar formats. And James Cameron's supposedly had the idea first, or the idea of the name.
But, like, the name, like, Avatar is just a word. Like, it's like they'd have to, I don't know.
Yeah, it like, is. Well, yeah, it's, like, a common word in, like, using
yeah, it is.
Hinduism and stuff. But you can copyright words if they're, like, for certain types of things, like TV shows or shirts or something, I guess. But yeah, it is. It's annoying. I don't know if that's the reason. Maybe I thought it was just because Nick wanted to associate it with the brand, which is The Last Airbender, because the movie was called that. I don't know if that's true anymore, though. That was my original theory. Not sure, though. Anyway, either way, it should be Avatar, The Legend of Korra, because it's so much better.
Yeah, it is.
And also it helps not associate with the movie, which would only be a good thing. So yeah, welcome to Republic City. We kind of started talking about this. Does seem like a kind of stupid name. Thoughts?
Yeah. It's better than The Promise.
It is better than The Promise.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, I'm really curious now what The Promise actually is.
Oh, because you haven't seen the...
Oh, is it revealed?
it's revealed. Basically. You can go spoil yourself now if you
want
to.
Okay, I'll go spoil myself later.
And it's not a big deal, honestly, I don't know.
No, I'll probably wait until it comes out.
Some contrived plot line from Jean Yang. I don't know. Or it could be from Megan Brand. I don't know. Probably not from them, though. I always question their involvement in things, not the show. Like, the movie, they listed them as executive producers. That doesn't mean they actually wrote anything. And I hope to God they didn't write the movie. Literally the worst script ever seen. And, yeah, so I also question their involvement in this, even though the writing seems adequate in this. Because it's just like... this guy is the writer, other than ideas, why would they like actually write any part of it? And it doesn't seem, and nothing has suggested they are, other than ideas. Okay. So yeah, let's get into the opening. Initial impressions. What did you think right when you saw it?
Excitement.
I fell in love with the music.
Yes, the music was one of the first things that I noticed.
And you know what? I actually noticed that it actually, like, a lot, or like one part of it, I can really tell it comes from some bit from the Escape from the Spirit World game, when it's showing that Avatar Kyoshi is training the Dai Li. They have this little motive thing in there, and it matches. It looks like they use it as inspiration for this thing.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Oh, like when, in the opening, like when it's going up to the city.
Yeah, when part. It just...
Yeah, I caught that too.
And that's my favorite part of the music right there.
Yeah, that was mine too.
I actually generated like a karaoke version just for that, but it kind of sounded bad, so... Anyways.
Probably not the first thing that I noticed on it, though. But I guess, I don't know. My initial impression was, first of all, how is this being shown? Second of all, excitement. Then I thought, I did feel a little underwhelmed, I gotta say, after I saw the opening.
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah. Well, first we have to remember that the opening was released first, and then we didn't have anything else. So it was different when I saw the clip, but... The opening just seemed really general to me, and it didn't really show anything, and it kind of would have been almost exactly like what you'd expect, knowing nothing about the series. So maybe it was just me being disappointed that we barely learned anything else, but... I mean, we had this general shot of the gang, and then we have this really weird camera things, which we'll talk about. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's good, but and it's awesome, but it's kind of the same thing, which I think is kind of the point, though.
I kind of liked the simplicity of it.
Yeah,
the fact that it wasn't very, like, it didn't show a lot, that it was just low-key, I guess.
I could see that, yeah, especially for the first episode beginning. I don't know, it's fine. I don't know, I just, maybe I expected to be blown away by it. Not at the same time, that's not true, though, because I'm not as expecting as much from Korra as some people, which we'll get to later. Better than the original series opening, yes or no?
No.
I think in different ways, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the situations are different.
Yeah.
Because it's the new opening is the time after war, and then the other one is during a time of war.
Well, yeah, we're talking about different things, yeah. I don't know. They're probably similar.
Well, I like the beginning with them, all the avatars bending. I like that better.
I did like that. That was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, cool.
We will talk... let's get to that right now. So... We don't know for sure, like, who the airbender is. You guys think it's Aang or Tenzin?
Aang.
Aang, because, I actually looked at this, like, really closely, and he has, like, he does have, the airbender has a beard, but it's not, like, Tenzin's beard. So, I think that it's probably Aang. There's my theory.
Yeah, and I think it also makes sense, just from, like, it's all the avatars, why wouldn't it be Aang, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if the random guy posting in our C-Box after Korra Comic-Con is to be believed, then we will see a flashback of Aang dying during the series, which would be really sad, but that would...
Really sad.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If random guy is to be believed. But that would, I think, make sense that they'd have him in the opening if they had flashbacks of him being old, which I hope they will, and more flashbacks of everything. The more flashbacks, the better.
Then, and just have the whole series be a flashback.
Honestly, basically just have it as a fourth season. I mean, come on. The other thing with this opening is it for only for the first episode? So if you don't know this, the first episode of Avatar has a different opening than every single other episode because we don't know what's going to, like, we don't understand who... It doesn't want to spoil it, I guess, like the premise of the first episode. But then the premise of the first episode is assumed for all the rest of the episodes. So this seems kind of general, leading to many to believe that this is only for the first episode of Korra, especially because it doesn't mention Korra.
Yeah, there's like no Korra in it at all. I was very surprised by that.
It's very, very strange that she's not mentioned that much. But if we're going by the old series, I think this is why this makes us pretty sure that this is for... just for the first episode, because it definitely seems like a bridge for us knowing what happens in the original series, and then we take the information from this, and then we're set up to meet Korra. I think that's where they're going.
I think, and I think Korra's going to appear on top of Aang's head on his statue. because like in the original one, they showed it like that cliff where he stands on, but he wasn't there for the first episode one, and then they zoom up to the sun. So they kind of did that in this one. So that's why I feel like Korra's going to end up right there.
Interesting.
Didn't notice that.
Good theory.
Yeah, I guess if they're going definitely by like structuring it based on the old opening, that makes sense.
Well, like, I assumed that they would do, like, the zoom up behind Korra, but, like, I didn't think that... I thought they would, like, maybe change the location and, like, have her... I don't know. I guess not on a mountain, because that's too much like Aang, but, you know, maybe on a building or something. Like, I didn't think that... Like, what purpose would she have to climb up Aang's statue?
I don't know. I think that'd be cool.
Climbing statues is fun.
Maybe she opens her wind chakra there or something.
Oh, please not chakras. Please not
chakras. Everybody loves chakras. No. I'm not guessing this one.
That would be interesting if they go through that whole plot. Because, anyway,
I wonder if Guru Patik is alive.
No way.
He should be.
That'd be so cool, though, if he was.
That would be pretty cool.
He'd be like 287 years old. Something like that.
Just a rough estimate. But yeah, I don't know. Let's not get into Korra learning the Avastar. We could talk about that later if we wanted to. Were you... I remember what I wanted to ask. Were you disappointed by the lack of Korra, Teresa?
I guess not really, because I think that it is for just the first episode, and so I think they will add her in. But it was more of a, like, wow, you don't even mention her at all. It's just like...
Yeah, I know what you
mean. It's only her show, but, you know. She doesn't need to be in the opening.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully lots more Korra in the future episodes opening. In something interested, Suki was included in this like moving shot of the gang that they have. First of all, I like that shot. Second of all, thoughts on Suki being included?
No.
I don't know.
Well, it was kind of like everyone involved in like the final battle, right?
Yeah, I think.
I guess that's what they're going for, but still. I mean, come on.
She shouldn't have been in front of Sokka. She should have been, like, behind everyone. She was the last one to join.
Yeah, I think Suki, this is just a Taka bias coming out right now.
Suki just
right, fine. Maybe it is, but...
Yeah, it's interesting. Do we think of her as part of the gang? I mean, when I think of the gang, I don't include her, even though she was there for, like, the whole second half of season 3. I don't know.
Of course not. She's a Kyoshi warrior. She's not part of the gang. Jeez.
But that's a shot of the gang, though. I don't know. Well,
yeah,
you're just, it's like how, I don't know, what's some, like the Justice League, she just teamed up with them, just for that.
I don't even know how to respond to that, but, I don't know, I guess if they're going for the finale, then yes, but, I don't know, I was kind of disappointed to see her there. Not that I have an anti-Suki bias, I love Suki, but it gives her, like, just as much spotlight as the rest of the characters. It's interesting to see how they're going to handle side characters in Korra, if there will see any like relations, because we definitely are going to see like relations to the main characters like Toph's daughter, and which we'll get to, and I mean Katara just flat out being there. Will we see any Sokka and Suki kids remains to be seen.
Of course not. We won't.
Will we see? Well, maybe Sokka's the father of Toph's baby. I don't know.
There you go.
That would be awesome. But anyway,
still a possibility.
It is. We don't know if they end up together, Sokka and Suki. As Jean Yang said, the only one that was predetermined is Katara and Aang. That's the only one he had limitations for writing for. Because we don't even know if Zuko and May end up together. Like he said, he might like play with it in the comics. Which is interesting.
I think they've already been through enough that, like, their relationship is more solid that, you know, I think they're the only ones who, I mean, I'm
at the same time, Taka bias, at the same time, they're, like, 15. I don't know. You have to remember the characters, like, 15.
That's true.
At the same time, Aang, maybe not even 13 at the end of the series, kisses Katara like that. Probably. Yeah. They kind of ignore how old the characters are, so.
They do that in animation all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Hey Arnold, and, you know.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Hey Arnold's a good example.
Dog.
It's kind of a completely different show, but.
Just a
Oh, we already went through that. We already talked about the music. So they had these crazy camera shots in the opening.
Oh my god, I hate them.
Really?
I've seen a lot of people hating them, actually.
When it zooms into, like, Republic City, I thought, like, it went to, like, another place. That's what, like, it felt like to me. It just felt, like, kind of random.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the purpose of them. That's the only thing.
I just don't like how they look.
Yeah, it's very CGI-y. Mm-hmm. I think Martin would not approve of this. He would be like, the tanks, and then... Yeah, old reference podcast. I don't know. I think that I hope that's not a direction they'll be going in for the show. Like, they just have more of, like, the standard animation. We'll be talking about the animation to a certain extent, to a certain focus. But it could just be they're trying to make the opening look cool and look all, like, intense and stuff, which I get.
I think the only crazy camera shot I didn't really like was when it goes from Republic City over to Aang's statue. I thought that one was a little...
Yeah, that I think was the weirdest one for me.
There's another one where it just, like, whooshes up to the Republic
City. Yeah, that's the one I didn't like.
Yeah, that's the one that stands out to me.
Going on the water? Really? I thought that was cool, and I didn't really think that was out of place.
I appreciate its coolness, but I just... I don't know. I don't really get the point. I mean, I guess the cool fact. What's the trope called?
Rule of Cool.
Rule of Cool, yeah. So, yep. I guess that trumps here. TV tropes, again, we're talking about.
Always talk about TV tropes.
Let's move on. Oh, we move on to the clip now. So, yeah, opening. I guess we're all thumbs up, more tempered for some people, I'd say. Summary. Interesting. I don't know. The opening's not that important anyway. The opening for Avatar is never amazing, in my opinion, honestly.
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Wait, did I skip that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it on the outline? Never mind. J.K. Simmons narration. I thought I put that. yes or no, J.K. Simmons narration.
I think yes.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, that's good.
I feel like... I have a whole section on this. It's interesting because I saw someone say that they didn't like... Oh, maybe it was a podcast email. I apologize, person who I'm forgetting. Who says they don't like J.K. Simmons narration because... It's not like a kid narrating it, and it's just this standard adult male voice, which seems like stereotypical for a lot of shows narrating it.
I think that was on the forums, Korra spoiler forum.
Oh, awesome.
I remember that.
DF forums plug. Yes, someone said that on there. I'll check that, and then as we talk, I'll say who said that. But yeah, I think it's interesting because it's like the exact opposite of Katara narrating the original opening, I'd say. Because Katara, young, female, old male, I guess, opposite.
yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't buy the narration, in my opinion. It's just, it's fine, it's adequate, but it's representative of the rest of the opening to me,
just,
I guess.
It's just boring.
It is kind of boring, in my opinion. I mean, I love that it's Aang's son, but still.
It's like Aang Tenzin, listen to me talk. La, la, la.
I feel like that could be a summary of Tenzin's character.
In the opening, he basically says what's going to happen in the promise.
What does he say?
He does.
Because he says how they had an issue with the Fire Nation colonies, but the solution was to make it into the United Republic of Nations.
Spoilers
for the promise. Yeah. That's pretty funny, actually.
I had read enough of the promise to get that was going to be a problem. So that, like, when he said that, I thought, oh, that's a really cool solution they came up with.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Kind of risky, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Donut Lad says this on the forums, by the way, that comment that I was talking about. Okay, but yeah.
Best name.
I know, right? But it's I wonder how much they're going to get into, like, the politics and stuff in Korra. Of, like, the stuff that Aang set up, or is it more just going to focus on the rebellion? That seems... I think... Because it's only, like, they only originally intended to be 12 episodes, they might not broaden its scope until later. I think that applies to a lot of things, though.
Yeah. I can see the promise doing that a lot, and then Korra just being her story.
Yeah.
Because all the politics problems will be kind of resolved by Korra, because everything's peaceful,
except for the rebellion. Yeah, it's true. And I would want them to focus on Korra more. And speaking of Korra, we get to see Korra, like, talking stuff for the first time in this clip.
I love her voice.
But first of all, Katara's alive. What did you think when you said, what did you What was your
reaction? Oh my god!
Did you say that exactly?
I don't know. I would like to think I said that.
I
giggled a lot.
I didn't see it. Well, I kind of saw it coming. I always didn't buy that everyone was dead, but still.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, that totally went against everything they said, so. I love it, though. At the same time, my first reaction was, oh my god, we get to see Katara in this new series. My second reaction was, oh, she's been alive for 17 years without Aang. That was my second reaction.
Yeah, that's what I
said. That was my too. I was like, so sad.
That is really sad. At the same time, though, she gets to see, like, Aang in, like, two iterations. Like, she gets to see Tenzin, and then she gets to see Korra, who's Aang's spirit, who is Aang, so. That must be really difficult for her, though. Like, training Korra, I really hope they have a moment where she, like we see Aang in Korra, and then Katara reacts to that. I think that'd be really emotional. That'd be good.
I agree.
But yeah, that's an interesting dynamic that we get to see with Katara there.
Yeah.
What, could anyone tell who Katara's voice actress is, by the way? It's not Mae Whitman, right?
Well, obviously.
Well, no. They could distort it, though. I don't think it sounds like her, though. Yeah, so it's just some random... She sounded like some random old lady.
Yeah.
I don't feel like she sounded old. She just didn't sound like young Katara.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I can see her only having this one episode because the rest of the season she's going to be in Republic City.
She's like Gran.
Yeah, oh my exactly. God. Exactly.
Yeah, she is.
What a concept.
Interesting.
But she's like lighter than...
By the way, something I wanted to talk about. Chances that they're going to have an even if she's only in the first episode, chances that she dies somewhere in the first 12 episodes, and that's the major focus of one of the episodes.
Doubtful.
I think that's very likely. I
think that's pretty interesting.
That's like a conveniently emotional plot point episode. But at the same time, it's like, maybe that's too intense, but if they are stepping it up, though, for this with like the more, less Kitty,
I like
then
that,
something we could see.
Maybe in the second season. I think in the second season it'd be more likely. But
okay. I could see that. But yeah, I don't know. Okay, so let's go over. So they're at the South Pole in the clip. Mm-hmm. And then they eventually get to Republic City in the episode. However, Tenzin visits the South Pole. Like, that's something, that's something that J2571 from the DF Forums points out. That Korra is learning everything in the South Pole instead of traveling, it looks like, because she's going over firebending there. And then, if you look at the pictures carefully, I think Tenzin goes to her in the South Pole.
Yeah, you know, I always thought that was above Republic City, but guess not.
Yeah, that's
I thought about this a little bit, and I was wondering if maybe whoever her trainers were, like, when we saw some, like, White Lotus people there, and, maybe they had her stay in the South Pole because of the anti-bender revolution, and so they're waiting until she masters more elements than just, like, one to go and kind of throw her into this mix that could be potentially dangerous to her.
That's interesting. I guess that depends if, like, the revolt is, like, above ground or underground. Or maybe they just know about it and made an educated decision. But at the same time, though, has it been going on for like 17 years, though, and they've just wanted to keep her in the South Pole? It's interesting.
Maybe they killed Aang.
Oh.
Think about that.
I still think that. I don't think he just died. I don't buy into that whole, the iceberg took years off of his life. I think that
he was assassinated.
Yeah, or something. Yeah.
Okay, well, here's what I think about that. I think Mike and Brian, go with both of those ideas. I think at first, like, they were like, oh, Aang can be dead now because of the iceberg, but at the same time, they can still change it now and have him killed off. That would be really interesting, though, if he was killed off by the rebellion. And that would go along with what the guy said on our chat after Comic-Con. He said he supposedly asked, like, Joaquin Dos Santos, and then he said they're going to show when Aang dies.
Flashback.
That would be good. I would be definitely looking forward to that. I was going to say something. Okay, so am I missing something? Is there something that, like, says these are White Lotus people?
One
of them was wearing the garb.
Yeah, it's the little...
Are they, like, all wearing it?
No, there's just... One of the guys is in, like... I'm going to pull it up now. One of them was in... Looked like fire... Like, general Fire Nation garb. That's what I got out of it. And they were, like...
Fire Nation Master, though. Firebending Master.
Okay, yeah, there's at least one guy who's wearing a white lotus around his neck. The other two people behind him look like they're in similar garb, but I can't tell if they have the same.
Okay, so there's at least one of them. Okay, because so people started talking about that right away, and it didn't. Because also people assume that the people who come to get Korra are White Lotus people. Are the people in the pictures the White Lotus people? I guess we have to look at that. They show in the picture things, which we'll get to in a minute, the slideshow. It shows these three guys, and when Korra's, we assume is young Korra, who come to, like, we assume it's come to see her for some reason.
He's so cute.
Yeah,
it's adorable.
And it's is that, are those people? Okay, yes, they're right here. They do.
It looks like the same people.
It does look like, yeah. Yeah. So I guess they like stayed with her the whole time. But then when they come to get her, she's already like earthbending and stuff. So they're like,
oops. Well, was that her? Is that like a young her or like younger sister?
It could be a sister. That's true. We don't know. I assumed it was young her, but who knows.
Yeah,
we'll
get to,
I guess we'll talk about that more in pictures. Well, not really. Okay, the animation. Opinion of the animation in the long clip.
Mm. Loved it.
Yeah, I really like it.
Thought it was good. Seems up to, it looks like JM, I gotta say. Which, I think, did they say they're going with JM animation for Korra? I can't remember.
I think I remember they said they are.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Or it was like... Was
they, always hated the other company and loved JM animation. Mm. Well, okay, so yeah, these three guys do look like they're the same three. I don't know, I like that. I think the animation's good, matches the other series.
Looks very cinematic, the backgrounds.
It does. Well, the backgrounds have always been amazing. Well, makes sense they'd step it up. I hope they brought back what, I forgot the person's name who's the background specialist on this.
Yeah, she was on one of the DVD commentaries.
Yeah, she was. I remember her. She was, they showed some of her stuff. Yeah, it was amazing. That's always been a strong point, definitely, the backgrounds of the show. Oh, Martin would be definitely love this background talk. So what else? But yeah, so we love the animation. How about the voice work? Gotta say, did not expect Korra to sound like that.
I love it.
I love it. I thought it fit her.
I think it changes my perception of her. And this is something I wanted to talk about, too. They always were like, Korra, she's the opposite of Aang. They're going to describe every time they had describing her. And she's, like, fun-loving, too, and stuff here.
I was surprised by that.
I like it a lot more. This lifted a lot of my anxieties about the show. Like, that Korra is just going to be this normal character. That she's, like, still, she's the strong female, but at the same time, she's playing, like, when she's talking to them, she's, like, humble and stuff and talking to them. So she's not always this. But maybe that's part of her transformation within the series, though. And she's talking all normally, and I think her voice actress, Janet Varney, I think, and
yeah,
she's helping to make her less. I can't think of the word that I'm looking for. Less
intense.
Intense. Yeah, I'd say she seemed more normal to me. I like it. Other than that, we only get to see like random side characters' voices, so we can't really say too much about that. Well, we heard J.K. Simmons as Tenzin, so I guess that counts. But yeah, I don't know, I like this clip, gotta say, overall. The writing, exactly what I expected, gotta say that. Very okay. I mean, that's the way to describe Mike and Brian's writing. I know I've talked about this before on the podcast. Mike and Brian aren't the best writers. You can kind of... He's Mr. Spiritual. That's totally a stereotypical line from them. I mean, it's kind of funny, but still, it's...
Because me oogies.
It would be definitely better with writers, Mike and Brian. Or,
writers, oh my god, what a concept.
I know. I really hope they changed it for the second season. We don't know yet, though. But yeah, like the animation, like the voice work, like Korra now, the writing is acceptable, but not blowing me away. And the direction does seem good, though. I mean, they brought Joaquin Dos Santos into it, who ended up being one of the best directors, so that's good. At the same time, though, I don't know who else is directing the show, because Spalding's moved on, Volpe's moved on, McMullen, I assume, is not back. I don't know who they have, so it's interesting. It's Dos Santos just directing every episode. I think, okay, so let's go over this. Spalding is one of them's working on Thundercats. I think that's Ethan Spalding. And one of them's working on a new series. Jeff, you get these updates too. What? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's. I don't think it's out yet, though. One of them's working on another like Cartoon Network series.
I actually ignore everything that's not new.
Yes.
News, so
For a while, it was like Ethan Spalding, Thundercats. That was like 5 Google alerts for Avatar. But it's, yeah. So I don't know. It seems like a very condensed crew to me, which makes sense because they thought it'd be a miniseries. But how are they going to expand the crew, or are they just going to treat it in the same way
for the new directors
remaining 12 episodes? I think they should probably add director. I have no problem with Joaquin Dos Santos, but they should probably add some people, take the workload off. Because, I mean, animation directing is, that's storyboarding it, it's difficult, obviously. They have their storyboarding team of, like, 3 storyboard artists, but still. That'd be hard for them, the same team, to do every single episode. So it's interesting. We'll see what they do with that. Let's talk about the slideshow now.
This one, I think, was the most interesting for me, like the most new information.
It was definitely, yeah, I would say so, because this pretty much, I think the guy pretty much went through over like 2 minutes of the episode and took something from it. So it's kind of obviously going to spoil the most parts. So the first thing we see are these, what we assume are Korra's parents. I don't know if there's any way to verify that, but first of all, everyone was like, they're so good looking. That was their first reaction to that. I don't know what else to say about it. Kind of general.
There's their.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look, our daughter.
They definitely do seem young, but makes sense for Avatar cultures to have children younger than our culture, because it's like old timey and
people die all the time.
Yeah, it's. I mean, their life expectancy is lower, which is an argument for Aang naturally dying. So we'll see about that. I think they could go both ways with Aang dying. Then we get into the monk visitors, which seem to be the same guys as the first as the Korra clip, but I can't confirm that. I don't know. Are they the same guys? Anyone detail?
Pretty
look at
sure
that?
They are. Yeah, pretty sure
they are.
Yeah.
And if they are the same guys, if they are the same guys, that's kind of evidence that is not Korra, little girl. Because if it was, then they would look a lot older in the clip.
Do they look older or do they look the same?
They look older.
Do they?
Yeah, they look a lot older.
Well, yeah, that's the impression I got. They visited and they've stayed with Korra for that. Or maybe they're just visiting again. That's kind of creepy, though.
There you go.
Or I don't know. I like that theory of her being like a younger sister, though. I don't know. I always thought that would just be baby Korra, but who knows?
Well,
it's baby Korra.
Yeah, at like Comic-Con or something, they released the picture of baby Korra, and that
that's pretty much she kind of looks the same.
At
the same time, though, if it was a sister, it'd probably look the same. But why?
And in the clip, the men mentioned that she's been ever since she was little. She was always focusing on the physical side, so that just made it seem like they knew her since she was little.
Yeah, they're connecting it. I see what you mean. Yeah,
you know, it's possible that the reason they're there in that scene is to inform her or to test her to see if she's out of the Avatar.
Yeah, that's what I
thought
it was.
And then later, they're just coming back to check on her progress or something.
Yeah, so I thought, that's exactly what I thought it was. I thought they're going to see if she's the Avatar, and they come, and she's already earthbending. And they're like, what? And then they come back, and somehow they're there later. And she's like, oh, how's she coming firebending? So, yeah. I don't know. It's the concept of the White Lotus being that overreaching, it's interesting. Because with the Rebellion, you'd probably need some organization. Did Aang, like, enhance the duties of the White Lotus? I don't know, because it seems like they didn't do that before.
You probably would need some independent organization to handle disputes between the nations, you know. Otherwise, you'll just get another war.
Yeah. And I mean, from our impression of the original series, it didn't seem like they were doing that. I don't know. It seemed like they're more low-key. Then again, I think people overestimate how much of the White Lotus we saw in the series. We've actually saw very little of them until, like, the very end.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, though.
And it makes sense why they'd keep low-key, because they don't want to get stamped out. They want to last until the war's over.
Yeah, so maybe now that the war's over, they're taking up a larger role. Makes sense.
Well, maybe, like, Aang asked them to look after the next Avatar, because they all helped him, but they weren't there from, like, the beginning.
And they were all masters, too.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, it just makes sense, actually. Yeah. Mm. But it doesn't seem like they did that before, which is interesting. Because in the Avatar and the Fire Lord, we didn't see, like, in White Lotus influence in that episode.
Yeah, but we don't know how long the White Lotus has been around.
Yeah, it could be a new organization. That's true. Yep. Interesting. Like I said, lack of information on them. Interesting to see how they deal with that. And they'll probably... Interesting to see if they'll be in the Promise, too. That could be a major part of that. Tenzin's family takes up a lot of these pictures.
They're so cute. I just want to eat them all up. They're just so adorable.
They seem to be putting a lot of emphasis on Tenzin's family, which is interesting because this is... It's only 12 episodes. How much can they focus on his family? Because they showed them at Comic-Con all the time. I don't know. I mean, they list the main... Some of the main voice actresses, or at least one for his daughters, so... Maybe they could play major roles in the in helping Korra. I don't know. Milo with Katara. First of all, I think that's the picture the people most reacted to.
It's adorable.
It is, yeah. Seeing Katara with her grandson, yeah.
Spazzy.
Yeah. The problem I had with it was that it's a very anime-ish shot. And you can count the number of anime techniques they've done in the original series, like, on a couple hands, maybe three, I don't know. But they limited it, and it seems like they did it twice in one episode here, with Milo. Maybe that's how they draw Milo. I mean, it's cool for them to have fun with him, but it's not that I have a problem with that art style, but it just seems out of place compared to the rest of the animation. Like Milo, again, with on Tenzin's head, too, has that weird, the big eyes, too. And they've expressed, like, that they like Milo and stuff, and they like drawing him. I don't know. Hope they don't go down that road too much.
Yeah, his animation style seems a little, like, almost too different from everyone else.
Yeah, it could just be the clips this guy chose, the shots this guy chose.
Maybe Tenzin isn't his real dad, and his real dad is an anime character.
Yes, that's a good
thing. Very likely.
I'll write a fan fiction right now.
Yes.
I don't really watch too much anime.
Do they have a core? They have a Korra label yet for fanfiction.net? I wonder. I bet they do. They probably do. His daughters. Okay, they are Jinora and what's E something?
Ikki.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are they? I forgot. Are they both airbenders? One of them.
Yeah, all of them are airbenders.
Okay.
Thing one, thing two.
Oh yeah, one of the pictures I have, they're using like little air scooters.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. That was really nice. It makes sense that they have a kind of a biggish role in the show, considering like some of the last airbenders alive. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Jinora has like a main voice actor. Do we know the other one's voice actress?
I can't even tell them apart.
Well, Jinora's the one with that like haircut. She doesn't have the two yellow things on her head, Jinora, I think. Yeah. Oh. And she's voiced by the girl from Mad Men, so she is like a prominent voice actress. So yeah, I mean it leads you to think that she'd have a bigger part in the show. Interesting. Republic City. First thing, power lines. Did we know about that?
I think we did.
Yeah, I think
they had traffic lights. We talked about that.
Yeah, it's still interesting to see power lines in the Avatar world. It makes no sense, but at the same time, I don't know. It's okay for them to go with it, but it's only been 70 years. Makes no sense.
Whenever I think about this, I always go back to those submarines.
I mean, yeah, they did.
They were very dangerously close to electricity there, you know.
Yeah, I understand. That's what you mean, yeah. It seems like Mike and Brian invented this, though, just to make Korra interesting. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it'd be a natural progression. But at the same time, yeah, they're really close technology. Maybe, what's his face? See, I'm forgetting.
The mechanist?
The mechanist, yeah. Maybe he invented electricity. That'd be interesting.
I mean, again, like, the Fire Nation, they went from having a broken prototype of an airship to having these massive blimps that could drop bombs and stuff. Like, and in not very long, too. Two seasons? Three seasons? Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Rapid progression.
So, if they weren't so busy with making war on everyone else,
and they progress technologically, probably, yeah, especially under Zuko's rule.
Absolutely.
Yes, that'd be interesting to see. I hope they talk about that in the comics. That'd be really interesting to talk. Well, the thing is, though, the comics only span a year, and so it's probably 2 years since the show ended, so maybe not. But yeah, I would love to see like an essay by Mike and Brian on technology in the Avatar world and how it's evolved, filling in the gaps and stuff.
No, I bet you what it would say. It's a TV show.
I know, they don't like talking about
it. It's fantasy.
It's annoying because that'd be it's so interesting. Those like pieces they paint. I think Mike thinks about it sometimes because Mike seems to. It seems like it makes sense, though, because this progression of technology they have. They at least have it on a very basic concept. They know what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you think how much they go into it. It's interesting. The airship. The airship looks more advanced, right? At the same time, they still had airships, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
But, or at least less militarized.
Yeah, that's interesting.
How do those even work?
Maybe it's a transport. I don't know.
I think they're all owned by the police.
Like the metal bending police?
Yeah, because you see them dropping from the sky in one of the shots.
Yeah, makes sense. How would the metal bending police become so influential? It's interesting. Did Aang appoint them as the official police of the city?
Probably Toph's daughter did. Or maybe Toph did, I don't know.
Did Toph's daughter, kill off the real police? Or I don't
know. Well, she probably just made a case like, hey, metal bending police, great idea.
It makes sense, and they actually evolved into that. So the pictures show her sitting with Beifong. So why is she Beifong mad at her? That's an interesting thought.
Well, I think if you look through chronologically, first we have her blowing up a car with earthbending. I don't know why. And then come the metalbending police, and then the big chase, and then sitting with Beifong. So I think maybe she just got caught.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That she got cut, and now she's scolding her.
Well, at the same time, they show a bit... Well, sorry, are you saying the order is different from, the pictures they show?
Oh, does Beifong come first?
The order he puts it in, Beifong's there, and then we see Korra earthbending this car. That's part I didn't understand.
All right, here's my theory. Beifong pulls her aside because she just arrived. It's like, hey, I know you're the Avatar, I know you have, hothead, whatever, just don't cause trouble in my city.
And then she does anyway.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, the next shot, she's earthbending this car, and then the metal bending police come down from the blimp. It could be out of order, but at the same time, what you mean. But
both makes sense.
Like the characterization of Korra we saw from the clip, maybe she's just acting like that because of she was in the presence of elders and stuff. But it doesn't seem like she would just randomly metal bend a car.
I'm maybe someone in the car a cat called her or something,
I could see that. Yeah. So
maybe she just hates technology and she's just destroying it.
I hope they don't do that.
Yeah.
That's kind of been done a lot. I don't know. But she's young though. I don't know.
I don't understand this wheelie contraption. What is it?
Yeah, South Pole isn't this advanced yet. But at the same time,
that could be why she earthbended it. She wanted to look at it without it moving. Just hold still. Cool.
Yeah, I think we're assuming she's trying to destroy it. Maybe not. And then, so here's something. She then gets frozen.
Is she all the way frozen, or is it just her?
Well, she gets her hair pulled back. It looks like she's. Oh no, she. Ooh,
she's using the ice to break.
Is she
the bottom?
Using the ice to break it? Okay, that answers my question. Yeah. Never mind that line of questioning.
That's gotta hurt pulling.
This is a weird shot. There's a line connected to her hair, so...
Yeah.
So she went to her... It's interesting which element she goes to. I'm trying to notice that. She went to waterbending hair. Seems like the most natural one, though. Because she's up on a bridge. Okay.
Yeah.
So, it shows mastery of waterbending, firebending, yeah. Mm. Earthbending, probably. Did we see any... Well, we see her earthbending the car, yeah.
I'm glad that, I know it's not a real clip, but I'm glad that we actually got to see her doing some sort of bending other than firebending, because that's all we got in the trailer. It's just her firebending everywhere.
She does seem to prefer firebending. But yeah, we see earthbend and waterbend.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so after that, that's pretty much the whole thing. So that seems like the plot of the episode, and then she's running away from the metalbending police.
Well, they also have some shots of her in that combat, like, sort of padding, right? Like, for the contest?
Yeah, was that for the... Oh. Ooh, okay, yeah, that's probably another part of the episode.
So I'm thinking, it's surprising to me how much this first episode covers, because I thought, like, those clips from the trailer would be spread over maybe...
Yeah, like, it seems, you know, like it's just the first episode, yeah.
Yeah. So, although I still don't know if she encounters the rebellion in this episode. I haven't seen anything like that yet.
I hope they space it out a little bit. It seems like a lot to be doing. Does she even meet Bolin and Mako, though?
I think she meets them. I think they're part of her team. Like, she teams up with them to be part
of
it.
Well, when do they show the team, her in the padding? Is it early on in the slideshow? Yeah.
But she wears that same thing in the...
In the training in the clip, though. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so that's like...
So it's probably her in the South Pole? Hard to tell. No, I think that is the South Pole.
You think?
Yeah, with her padding on. Well, they show
her... No, because in the trailer...
Around what time are you talking about in the slideshow?
Let me look.
Because they definitely show her...
Oh, there it is. Oh, you know what? You're right. It is at first, huh? And that is in... Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, maybe they don't do the training thing until second episode.
But is, yeah, because I remember seeing in the trailer at the very end, they have this, like, the Avatar, that little scene.
Yeah.
And that's, so they're surprised that it's the Avatar, which means it wouldn't be here because everyone knows the Avatar's there.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, weird.
Yeah, I guess we'll figure it out. Probably shouldn't figure out the whole plot of the first episode anyway. Not ruin it. We kind of have, though, at the same time. The other thing with the slideshow was the end credits music that, by the way, that is, I think he took like 10 seconds and looped it, though.
Yeah, it sounded like the same thing over and over.
Yeah, but it's still, he said it was from the end credits, though. It's really nice. Good music.
Mm.
Kind of calm. Mm. Okay. Yeah, I think we pretty much went through all the spoiler stuff. So let's just get into some quick between the series stuff that we think like happened. So this, I'm still going to call this undercore spoilers because you're allowed to mention stuff based on now that we have new information. We kind of went over the Toph marrying thing. We don't know Suki and Sokka. We haven't seen any of that. I mean, I guess we have to just, I mean, who... Toph having kids, not something you'd expect right away, at least.
Maybe she adopted. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Have we heard of any adoption in the Avatar world?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. Well, it'd be at least like 10 years. To remember Toph's 12. How old does Beifong look? Which is interesting, because she looks pretty old.
50s, maybe?
Yeah, so that would mean... trying to figure out the time.
Toph in her 30s?
Yeah, Toph not waiting too long, I guess. The Duke?
No.
No.
Shut up.
What's that ship called? I don't even remember.
The Doph. Oh my god.
So stupid.
Jeez.
Hey, that is her fake name in the palace.
Yeah.
Or reality, it's Katara's fake name.
I think it's hers. I don't remember. Yeah, City of Walls and Secrets. Probably someone new. You'd expect.
Yeah. I don't think they'd do that to Toph. Like, I don't know if they would just make a new character and pair him off with Toph. I feel like she's been around too long and they put too much into the character to just stick her with anyone.
Well, they don't even have to, like, show in Korra. They don't even have to just show.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that they would even, like, show.
What if we never find out?
Yeah, we might not. Oh, that would suck. Mm-hmm. I could see them doing it, especially because the promise only covers 2 years after.
Oh my god, that'd be terrible.
I think it's actually likely.
I'd explode.
You'd explode.
Not really, but... I would explode out of anger.
Out of anger. Okay, Aang and Katara. Why did I write this?
What did you?
Because I want to talk about Kat Aang, obviously. I don't know how the relationship goes. How old's Tenzin? I guess that depends. We've been over this. When are Katara being cursed?
I think
we calculated this a couple podcasts ago. Pretty sure. Whatever. We don't need to get into it again. Yeah, so Aang dying, stuff like that. But hard on Katara.
Sad times.
Sad times. Interesting. I think a lot of like post series Cat Aang fix have focused on time Aang spends fixing the world versus time he spends with Katara. Something interesting to think about. That's just a fan fiction-y thing, though.
I feel terrible. I'm on KF and I've never read any of these fanfics. And yeah, I'm a mod too.
Yeah, you're not like the most Cat Aang-y person.
I'm not really.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Terrible. I still ship them though.
That's good.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's just a natural pairing to ship them and Taka.
It's a fearsome foursome, you know. You gotta get everybody in the group together, just make happy times.
Exactly. Everyone needs to end up with everyone at the end. It's the only way it works. And they kind of did do that though, except. Though they didn't show her and the Duke except in that, like, one scene.
It's for, like, a hug.
Yeah, so it doesn't count. Well, no, is in the epilogue, did they show them hugging?
Nope.
No, it was just when they got back from the invasion, right?
Yeah.
Zuko and Mei, you think they end up together?
Well, you spelled Mei wrong.
I'm aware of that. I know. I rush through these things, okay?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really put...
I just really feel like they're just going to leave everyone together. Who they, like, set up.
I feel like Mei would be like, oh, Zuko, why are you being all evil now? And...
Probably have, like, a rocky relationship.
Like my Mei impression? Yeah. Yeah, but they do kind of have a rocky relationship, though.
You're no Mel.
I know. And, yeah. Zuko, Mei. I don't know. Doesn't really matter, actually. Probably not going to see it. Same thing with with Toph. At the same time, I could see Zuko's descendant still being... Well, I mean, his son, I guess, has to be the Fire Nation.
Yeah, the Fire Lord.
Fire Lord, yeah. Assuming he's dead.
Assuming that he has a son. You know, we don't even know
if he has a daughter.
Or maybe he doesn't have any kids at all.
Yeah, but if Zuko doesn't have any kids, then the throne would go to Azula.
Yes. Some obscure Fire Nation law that everyone has to obey.
Yeah, exactly. That is what ends up on the throne. Oh my god, you have no idea how many fanfics I've read where Azula is the enemy after the series is over. It's so annoying. I really, yeah. Oh god,
Azula. Locked up in the loony bin.
Yeah, what's with Azula in the news? I hope we see like Azula's crazy daughter. That'd be awesome.
I heard someone theorize that Azula was the one behind the revolution.
That'd be interesting. Her escaping and setting it up.
I think that's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like you're still recycling old villains and stuff.
Yeah. And I don't know why she would be against bending.
It's true. It could be that it evolved out of her like initial rebellion, though.
Plus she is, like, psycho. So.
Yeah, who knows what she's thinking. Speaking of that, the revolt starts. Yeah, so there's the revolt. Jin Yang makes it seem like it plants its seeds very early on, and then it just continues up in the core, which is interesting. Hard, I feel like 70 years is a long time to sustain a rebellion, though. Even if it's just like underground, I don't know. Zuko evil, I assume he gets good.
Maybe it'll just be like people, just a few select people starting to show that they don't like bending, but like not actually like start organizing.
Yeah, we just see the very beginnings. Yeah, I can see that. So at the end of the promise, you assume Zuko's going to be good again. So that means Fire... But then who knows about whoever the Descendant is, so we don't know how the Fire Nation's going to be. It seems like they're compliant with Korra, though. Like, they have the Firebending Teacher. We don't know his relation to the Fire Nation, though. It seems like the main... Even though that they say, like, the revolution's, like, the main plotline, who's to say that there won't be, like, more, like, smaller conflicts among nations? I don't know.
Interesting. Should be.
And other stuff. That's you guys. What else?
Well, were you guys expecting it to be book one air?
Oh, that's no. Going back to
question. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah.
Neither was I. I was, like, waiting to, like, figure out what it would be, because I didn't think it would be air.
I thought it was going to be, like, I considered it that maybe they would do the alternate bending types, like, that it would be book one, metal, and, like, book two, lightning or something.
I gotta say, it didn't even cross my mind they'd even do, like, book and then an element. I mean, it's just there's a mini-series at first. So I didn't know that it seems, though, that they're setting it up for... The thing with the book numbers, that makes me think that they're going to go beyond two, quote-unquote, seasons. What, you know, book one air, book two something, I don't know.
One question I've got, and it probably doesn't have anything to do with what's going to happen, but I recently learned, kind of belatedly, that Avatar was originally slated for 13 episodes for season one.
Yeah.
Somehow it got expanded to 20. At what time did they expand that out?
Yeah. So,
like, is there a chance for Korra? You know,
you can kind of see that the original 13 in that the Blue Spirit's like kind of like a finale-ish episode.
Well, you know, like most animated series get picked up for 13 to like test.
Yeah, I think they they kind of knew that they could get more. That's a good question. When did they? I don't know. Maybe they edited. I assume that they started writing 13 as a finale. Of sorts.
It's just and kind of left it open just in case they got signed up for more.
Yeah, that's what I think. Maybe it was like up in the air and they didn't know. Because it does seem like, why are they having this like really intense episode in the middle of the season?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know. Who knows if that'll happen for Korra?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. It seems like they'd have more word, though, because they're like veterans now. Nick would give them more of a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 12... I would expect the 12th episode to be a finale. I do see them as two separate seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the question is, did they exhaust all their plot lines? I think that's what you're trying to say.
Well, no. I mean, I was just speculating to see if there was any possibility we could get more episodes in one season.
Well, yeah. I don't know. At Comic-Con, did they say two seasons, or did they say two groups of episodes? I need a refresh on the Comic-Con stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I doubt they said two seasons. Anyway, yeah, so we have two groups of episodes, I guess. Maybe it's just one. But maybe it'll all be book one, which doesn't make any sense. Why would you call it book one if that's it?
Yeah.
Maybe they couldn't figure out what to call book two.
So they just stopped?
I'm still hoping for a book metal. I think that would be awesome, because you've got the metal bending police and everything.
I mean, yeah, so yeah, here's the thing with calling book stuff. Like, the point
book
of it
two,
is...
hydrogen. There's an element for you.
Yes, thanks, science joke. The point of like calling them book somethings in the original series was that's what Aang's learning at the time. So
yeah,
we see Korra learning air, then what? Like,
see, I feel like book two would be like her spiritual stuff, like the Avatar state and the spirit world.
That'd
and
be
stuff.
Interesting. Korra and spiritual. So yeah, that's okay. So I heard people talking about like. Since Korra is like not as good with the spiritual stuff, how's she going to get the Avatar State? Does Korra even need the Avatar State? Are they actually going to explain how she randomly would get into the Avatar State this time?
No, everybody needs the Avatar State.
Just as a convenient plot line that they use and then ignore for a season and then bring back at the end as a deuce.
Is that what's considered the spiritual stuff, though? The Avatar State?
I don't know.
Like, connecting with your past lives and whatnot.
I'd assume that would be under the category of spiritual.
Yeah.
So, you know, Aang talked to Roku like 50,000 times.
I mean, when they said she ignored the spiritual side, I think that was more like they see bending as composed of two parts, physical movements and connecting spiritually just in general. That's how I took that. I don't know. But if you'd see it as an extension, though, like... And then, and we didn't even see, is she going to talk to Aang as the spiritual guide if she's not as... Yeah, like Sam said, is she not as in-depth in the spiritual stuff? Does she not talk to Aang as... I don't know.
Maybe she's just ignoring him. Maybe he's just, like, trying to talk to her, and she's just like, nope, go away. Not today.
I don't know. I do want to... It doesn't seem like... It seems like they would have her talk to Aang in the first episode, if they're going to do that. That's a good bridge to the previous series. Maybe they're saving it. I don't know. Want to see it happen.
I would think they'd save it. Kind of, like, build up... the suspense, I guess, of seeing Aang as a spiritual guide.
Maybe Aang tells her about the rebellion. I don't know. Because that's kind of how Aang learns of the conflict. Because it doesn't seem like she's aware of the rebellion from the pictures of the first episode. Quick plug for the sponsor before we move on to the closing. For you, the listeners of the From the Spirit World podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I personally recommend the audiobook for The Knife of Never Letting Go by Patrick Ness. I think it's a great young adult dystopian novel, kind of on par with Hunger Games, that would fit our audience for this podcast. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/FTSW. Again, that's audibletrial.com/FTSW for your free audiobook. So I have been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Sam, Jeff, Teresa, and Derek. Technical director, AJ Kevin. Musical remixes by Luke Tripp. Dongwu Fen is owned by Jake. You can email us at dylan@dongwufeng.net. And that just goes to me, and I can send it to other people.
Send us fan mail.
Yeah. Okay, send us stuff, because we haven't been getting that much stuff. And I know you guys are listening.
Tell us how much you love us.
Yeah. So we did get an email that said, I especially love Sam and Martin. So there you go.
Thanks.
The people love you, Sam. What can you say?
Lifting my self-esteem up.
Yeah, so send us stuff like that. So we're going to have, hopefully, I think this is our last podcast for December. For January, it's not like there's any current stuff to talk about, assuming this guy doesn't release more spoilers. But I do have some, like, minor stuff I want to talk about. Might do some lists, various lists. Don't want to do another,
another episode.
I kind of do want to do that. I'll rank all 61 episodes again. But at the same time, I don't think I'm going to do that. Because that's
I've still got my list saved.
I started mine.
I know, right? I kind of want to do that just because I've totally changed my number one now, and that would be an awesome discussion. But I was thinking of doing other lists, or maybe this too. So hopefully we'll get those out January, and then probably another long break. Yay. Well, we don't even know when Core is airing. I know. I mean, it's hard, though. Hopefully we can get some consistency. It kind of depends when Core is airing, because that's clear topic for discussion. It's not clear what year Core is going to air in right now. We don't even know that. I'd assume it's going to be end of summer, early fall at the earliest. You'd think they would have told us by now if they're going to do it after the Kids' Choice Awards.
Ooh.
Do we know?
Maybe they'll have a preview.
Ooh, that'd be
good. That'd be awesome.
I mean, if for background, like the slot. Nick usually airs like a new show after the Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah.
And that's like huge ratings territory because you get the lead in from the KCAs, so.
We should ask them to do that.
They should, but I doubt it because that's only a couple months away now. Or I guess like four, but whatever. I don't know. Nick has withheld information from us for a while before. And honestly, there's no way of knowing because no one's like, other than the spoiler guy, we've been cut off from information. Dongwu Fang included. No, can't elaborate, but yeah, so interesting. Hopefully we find out from Nick. Or I would take an outside source at this point, though. Kind of just want to know release date. Yeah, email us. This has been the podcast. you guys start thinking about what we're going to end on Unison while I mention other stuff. Because we've had some trouble with this recently.
What did we end on last time?
Yes, I don't even remember.
I wanted to end on Core the Explorer.
No, Core the Explorer?
Not doing that again. We think we did that last time. Yeah, so I already put the application
Bowling process. In the Deep. I got that from Tumblr.
Has someone made a remix of that?
What?
I mean, we haven't even heard Bowling. That's not, yeah.
Bowling in the Deep.
If you want to be a co-host, I guess you can email me. Not taking the applications anymore, but I still have a lot of people I want to work back in.
Just think about it. I didn't even have to mail in an application. I just like asked, like, "Hey, can I be on the podcast?"
Yeah, that was the good old days when.
Long time ago.
I was looking through old podcasts. I think we had 12 co-hosts on one episode. Pretty sure that was insane. Why did I do that? I don't know. I've learned my lesson. Most people didn't talk though. That's the problem.
Me.
I don't remember. When did you start coming on, Sam?
Southern Raiders podcast. That was my first one.
How old is that? Is that a while? No, that's not. I guess that's...
We did it, like, the night after it aired. It was, like, so 2008.
Yeah, so that's kind of recent in podcast years.
I guess, I don't know. Whatever. I'm a youngin.
I guess. yeah.
Is there any good makeup puns? Mako.
We don't need it to be a pun. When did this...
1, 2, 3 spoilers.
But it sounds like we're celebrating this spoilers. We kind of are, though.
Mako Taco.
No, not, no, not Mako Taco. Yes, I get that it rhymes. How did we... What did we do for old send-offs? Teresa and Derek, you've been listening. What did we do?
I think the Lost Adventures one, that was your last one. You guys ended on cookie dough bending.
What?
I remember that, okay. But like, how about, okay, let's liken like really old podcast. What was our default thing? Did we even end on something, or is that more recent?
Yeah, you've ended like for a long time, you'd end on something.
I assume it wasn't something clever for most podcasts.
That's why you got me.
Yeah, exactly.
It was usually just related to what you talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
This has all been Cora, though. Let's do... Well, since you just saw a nice jump cut there, let's end on... Yeah, okay, let's just do spoilers because we can't say anything about the spoilers.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we have anything else to say? I think I covered it. Okay, one,
two... One in the deep.
No, we're not doing
it. I just had to say that, okay.
One, two, three, spoilers!
Spoilers!